cloth, according to the burial custom of the Jews. Now there was a guard.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The account that we have just heard from St. John's Gospel details the manner in which Jesus the Christ came to die, crucified at the hands of Pilate, after a sham trial, the baying of blood, another crucifixion of another rebel, another fly in the oil of the Roman military regime. We, of course, focus upon the death of Jesus, as, after all, he is our Lord and King. But, of course, he wasn't the only person crucified that day. We know of at least two others, and it was like that others, perhaps many others, were also crucified on that same awful day. Worse, this was not unusual. The Romans were good at crucifixions. Having occupied a city, they would sometimes strip all the trees of the closest hill and nail to each and every one of them, men, women and children from that conquered city, so that anyone remaining thought of rebelling against the Pax Romana, the cries of the tortured from the hill would dissuade them. It is said that great flocks of vultures followed marching Roman phalanxes in anticipation. Crucifixion was a weapon of war, a vivid exemplar of the consequences too of sedition, a tool in the toolbox of the oppressor, a common and awful sign of Roman might and power. Was it unusual that Jesus was crucified? Not at all. Was it unexpected? Unfortunately, not at all. Jesus had, for the most part, done nothing less than get right under the skin of almost every authority he encountered, and even some he didn't. A backwater Jewish man with aspirations of divinity like the Roman emperors, he annoyed his own synagogues, his own rabbis, his religious teachers. He upset tax collectors, temple authorities, lawyers and soldiers, and he put many of them to shame as well. But perhaps worst of all, he cared for and loved those no one else would, and even those it was commanded against to care about by state or religion. And that really got under people's skin. Word spread. This man loved Samaritans, women, children, strangers, prostitutes, soldiers, tax collectors, refugees, the sick, the dying, and yes, even the dead. Nothing spreads the word like bringing back someone from the dead. Years of that meant a day on a cross. He had it coming, and he knew it. So here we are, staring at a cross and seeing the collision of might and peace, force and love, human empire and divine love, wondering perhaps if there could have been another way, one less awful than the one we brood over this morning. For me, one of the most striking elements of the crucifixion is found in the nailing of Christ's hands, evocatively captured on the front cover of your order of service. Those hands had only ever done good. They had run through the hair of those who were sick and brought healing, across the skin of the leper and brought repair, laid softly on the forehead of the fevered and brought coolness and balm. In those hands, everyone was embraced Everyone was nourished and everyone born. But now, like a common criminal and in a common sight, those hands were nailed to a beam. Did Christ still want to reach out to the still fevered of the world? Of course. To his mother below him, to those suffering the same fate? Of course. But for now, those impulses woven deep within his very skin were steeled by nails. In Christ's death is the ultimate manifestation of his teaching and life. He taught those who would listen, and you and me, of the divine quality of love. He commanded us to love. It's not a suggestion, it's not a hint, it's not put forward as a possible way forward, but he commanded us to love one another as he loved us. In John 15:13, this commandment is then followed by this dictum. No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Who are Christ's friends? We are. If, and it's a big if, we do as he commanded and love one another as he loved us. Could there have been another way, therefore? No. Did Christ have to die like this, a common criminal in agony, nailed to wood like thousands before him and after him, and another rebellious voice stilled? Yes. In Christ's crucifixion, we witness again Jesus, the Son of God, being amongst the people of God. Being amongst the people of God who he healed, he taught, and he loved, and who also were crucified and oppressed, and whose voices were stilled by the mighty and the strong. Here on the hill, Christ died as he lived, God in flesh, with and for God's people. And more importantly, he lived his own teaching. No hypocrisy there, that love must sacrifice. And on that cross and on that day, we see that greatest manifestation of that sacrifice, a cross and a sign that proclaims that self-sacrificial love, that is the very love of God, wins out after all. But that victory is not for this morning. Not yet. That comes at Easter, 2 long days away. In the meantime, let us sit at the foot of his cross, in the shadow of its self-sacrificial love, and wonder for a time all that Christ did for the world he loves so much.